WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz on Kamala Harris's promise last night on the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. to hire both Democrats and Republicans to the White House if elected.
She's pledged to make sure we bring those dissenting voices in. They're going to have a seat at the table because that's how we find real solutions. So I think that crowd in D.C. Got to witness what Americans are hungry for, a unifying president, one that wants to find solutions.
Walz on Good Morning America. Donald Trump was on Fox last night telling Hannity he didn't know the comedian at his Madison Square Garden show who called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage.
I have no idea who it is, never saw him, never heard of him, and don't want to hear of him, but I have no idea. They put a comedian in, which everybody does. You throw comedians in, you don't vet them and go crazy. It's nobody's fault.
The University of Florida's election project says 51 million Americans have already voted. The Yankees keeping their World Series hopes alive. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.fm. For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Former President Donald J. Trump will be in Ashwaubenon at the Resch Center this evening, rallying his supporters and encouraging them to vote. The event's set to begin at 4 o'clock. Preliminary speakers include Packer legend Brett Favre. Trump is scheduled to appear at 6 p.m. Green Bay drivers should be aware that starting at 10 this morning, Lombardi Avenue between Holmgren Way and Oneida Street will be closed until Trump's motorcade leaves and the crowd has been dispersed. 1 week to the day away from the November 5th election, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin brought her Get Out the Vote bus tour to the Green Bay area on Tuesday night, encouraging people to vote early and ask friends, relatives, and acquaintances to vote as well.
It makes all the difference, and in a battleground state like this, your reaching out is going to make the difference.
Baldwin is seeking her third term as a U.S. senator. She's in a tight race against businessman and bank owner Eric Hovde. The Packers Heritage Trail Plaza will be moved from its downtown location at North Washington and Cherry Streets. A day before, a court hearing was scheduled on a lawsuit filed by Packers Heritage Incorporated against the city of Green Bay. The parties came to an agreement. This makes way for a new 268-unit luxury apartment complex to be built in its footprint. Packers Heritage Trail said they're disappointed with the city's decision, but will take their statues and find a suitable and permanent new location. Enrollment at the Universities of Wisconsin increased by 1,900 students, according to official 10-day enrollment counts released Tuesday. UW Oshkosh did not see an increase. In fact, UWO saw an almost 6% decrease in the number of students. There are 814 fewer students at UWO this year than last. Neighboring UW Green Bay, meanwhile, saw record enrollment. I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL Packers rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. It's supposed to play is turn to point, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and windy with a high in the mid-70s today, falling into the 60s by late afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms are likely tonight. Could be some heavy rain, too, with an inch and a half or more possible. Tomorrow, falling temperatures, showers, windy, will be in the mid-40s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Get your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecues on November 2nd at the Community Rec Center in Marinette, Wisconsin. Six award-winning barbecue pitmasters go head-to-head while your taste buds get punched in the mouth with lip-smacking barbecue. You'll listen to Blues Hall of Fame legend Joe Moss. Following Joe, Blues icon Taranzo Cannon hits the stage playing tunes from his number one album, Shut Up and Play. VIP tickets are only $27.50 and include barbecue samples from all six competitors, a full beverage of your choice, VIP pit passport, and both concerts. General admission tickets are just $17.50. Learn more at fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig. That's fishonmarinette.com. Sponsored by Fincantieri, Marinette Marine, The Motor Company, Anderson's Culligan, and Farmers Merchants Bank and Trust. Blues, Brews, Barbecues. Come get some.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, make a difference and change the world. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Stories of change through music, finding your happiness, and helping others one cup at a time.
Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11 on WGBW and WISS. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in a blustery Wednesday morning. Special thanks to Gizmo and Jessica Voss from Bay Area Realty. They were very, very much fun. And somebody else now that's going to talk about something that is a wonderful cause. But while you're doing it, I don't think you're going to say, this is really fun.
Can Chelsea I just Koken. Thank our sponsor for this portion, Pella?
Yes.
Just Pella Windows and Doors. Great company here in Green Bay. Obviously, they specialize in making homes look better and be more energy efficient. And I'm a huge supporter of theirs because they did my home. And my house is like 115 years old, but they'll do any home. And they have what's cool is they come over with their little laptop and they show you different styles. Because like doors, we have realtors in here all the time. And your front door is a big deal. I'm just going to get a regular door. You know, you go to Menards and pull out those slider doors and look at those. But Pella, different colors, different styles, different glass. You know what I mean? You can make it look like a church door. I mean, yeah. I didn't do that, but different panes on the side and different colors. Black is very popular right now. And then just the windows, you know, like I said, older homes, the architecture is a little bit different. But, you know, homes built in the 80s, 90s, new homes. And just love that company. And they have a good big special going on right now. I don't know exactly what it is, Johnny, remember? But it's like no financing for like
90 days.
90 days.
Yeah.
Wow. Which.
But it ends tomorrow.
I wish.
It ends tomorrow.
It does it?
31st.
Okay. Get moving.
Yeah. All right. So today, before you go get the candy, go pick up some doors and windows at Pella. PellaWI.com.
Yep. Pella, yeah, PellaWI.com.
Right.
Chelsea Koken, hoo-ah, Veteran Suicide Awareness March, 17 miles worth.
Yes.
And how much is your ruck generally?
Well, I mean, we don't make everybody carry one. You don't have to, but we've had
if
people.
If I did this, I was going to carry a pillow.
But and you know why not? Honestly, even a few pounds will change how
absolutely.
You walk and how it feels.
It's a
at
heavy
the end.
Pillow.
We have some people. Gosh, I know one guy. I think it's 53 pounds he carries.
Wow.
I think it's the ship that he was on. I don't know.
For
the
17 miles, mm-hmm. which generally, like I was timing myself, I walk about 20 minutes for a mile,
sure.
18 to 20, and so I was thinking that would take me about what 6 hours.
Yeah, close roughly. To. And we have, so we start, the walk starts at 9, and now at that 17 miles, I mean, pretty much everyone will be done by 4:30, so you'll have.
But they walk straight for 5, 6, 7 hours.
Yeah.
How long did it take you for the marathon?
2 hours and 9 minutes.
That's it?
Well, half.
Oh, I was going to say, excuse me, sir.
No, I just want to say I got lapped by the guy who
finished.
I didn't know you were a Kenyan.
I mean,
that's who beat me. Yeah. But that was maybe 9:30.
That's still, 209 for a half is still moving.
But yeah, but walking is about 17, 18 minutes.
Yeah.
A little brisker walk. But don't you guys stop? Did they stop there, at lunch or water?
So there's five stops along the way. Okay. So you can stop and make those what you want. Right. You know, you can. We have people at the turnaround. They take their boots off and take their stuff off, take a load off, have some booyah. I mean, it's not a race by any means. That's there's no first place medal.
Yeah.
People, I mean, yes, it is for some, but there's no first place, second place. How fast do you go? We're out there to, you know, show support.
And what's the route?
So we start here at the KI right across the street.
Okay.
We have our opening ceremony at 8 in the morning. We could probably talk on that a little bit. But then you go right down the Fox River Trail to K distributing, down into Pier. And right back. So it's a nice, safe route and easy for us because we can just keep you right on the trail almost the entire way, and then you're back.
And that trail can be beautiful. As, I mean, it's going to be more Novemberish, but I mean, that's still...
I mean, the way the weather's going, we should be okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been with the organization since 2014. The event has been 2013. So this is our 12th year.
I remember I was on the trail just kind of running and I was like, wow, what are all these people doing?
Yeah. Oh,
you get a good turnout for that, which is awesome. Do. And I think... You walk enough, slow enough where you can have a conversation.
Absolutely. You know, and that's some of my favorite parts is people meet friends, like make friends along the way. Talk about why they're there. So it's great.
So how do you get then from K to here?
You turn right around. So we have to
I thought that was the end.
Yeah.
I thought.
You walk.
Okay. Well, if you want to quit halfway through, what do you do?
Trade a parent's stroller, like, maybe. Say, hey, I need that ride.
What she's saying is it's 8.5 miles to K.
Well, I mean, do you have those little, like a golf cart or something coming up from behind if somebody wants to turn around?
Should something happen, we do have the means to get people back to the KI. We have our 15-passenger van. You know, if you really needed a ride, we've got a way amongst those five stops. You can check in with a volunteer. But we also have a 2-mile route. So if you think, you know, 17.5, I can't even attempt that, you can still show up, support, and just do the 2-mile. And that's just to the Mason Street Bridge and back.
If you did like the 5-mile and you needed the ride back, would you shame them?
No.
Okay.
No.
You'd get back about the same time.
No. So we just want you there.
I think that's a great thing because, like you said, it's not competitive. It's more about camaraderie. It's more about showing support, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
And tell about what it is about. The baseline here is.
So, I mean, this was started when HUA started in 2013. The two people that started it, they wanted to just make a difference and help veterans, right? So they were looking around at what could they do to raise funds, and this event is what happened. So in 2013 at Stadium View, they had 71 people show up, and it was like $11,000 or $13,000 that they raised, and that led to our first skydiving event.
You raised that much money from that few people?
Yeah. So, wow. I mean, and it just shows, and now we've grown to almost 1,000 people, over 1,000 people, actually. And last year, we raised, after our expenses, $235,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Pace. Wow, that's a lot of money.
So that's phenomenal.
I mean, it's a big chunk of our operational budget. So, obviously, this event is not only about what it is, veteran suicide awareness, but it's bringing the community together to show support for the families who have lost someone, to someone who struggled on their own with those thoughts, and obviously then raise funds, but share resources as well. We'll have 20 plus different organizations along with ours there saying, here's what we have to help you.
That's awesome.
So raising that kind of money, what's the entrance fee to this?
So right now it is $35 to register and walk. A shirt, if you want one, is an additional $20. But that $35.
Is it those shirts you're wearing?
This is a nice crew fleece that you can buy there.
That's
the
really
event
cool.
Shirt is like very that. Nice. Just t-shirt, Blue Dusk, but it's got a really cool design with several names on it of those who we've lost to suicide. And the back obviously reps all of the supporters that we have. A good chunk. We've raised over $100,000 just in sponsorships this year, which is great.
Yeah.
And then registration and our crowdfunding, too, is another, you know, basically a third each on how we're able to bring in those dollars.
That is so awesome. Mm-hmm. How are we doing with suicide with the veterans? I mean, you're on top of this, and this is a fundraiser to help bring awareness, and I don't know where your money goes, but you read about that, and it's very sad.
I will say this, to jump on that. I mean, we deal with a lot of charities, and you know, usually they have a spokesperson or something who's, you know, very sympathetic to the charity and everything. But with this group, I know this firsthand, it's personal.
Yeah.
It's 100% personal.
Yeah. So my husband was actually one of the two co-founders back in 2013. And, you know, when they started this organization to help, it wasn't just we want to make a difference in the community. It was that, but they knew people around them and themselves that were struggling. Right. And to have that perspective of two guys just in it, who can speak to all of these things are available, but it doesn't feel exactly right on what we need. And that whole piece is being proactive and kind of getting ahead of it. You know, we're not suicide crisis prevention centers. There are those. They are wonderful. We want to start to build a community around people before they're getting to a place where they're not okay.
And right? It's something that was needed. And there's a lot of good organizations that have sprung Absolutely. Up over the years. But there was like that little gap between the VA, which is this big, huge, monstrous thing.
Medical center. Yeah. Where it's clinical, and that's what you're supposed to do.
And you wouldn't have that more... Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Down home type of thing. Mm-hmm. And there are so many horror stories from the VA. And God bless the VA here in Green Bay. I've had so many wonderful comments from people about how much better that is. But when they'd have to go to Milwaukee and those kind of places and the stress they would go through and they'd try to call and nobody'd call them back for like 2 days, whereas they can pick up the phone and call you or Will or one of the people and speak immediately.
Yeah. And just know that someone's there.
Exactly.
You know, and someone really cares and is human around it. And again, the VA is wonderful. All of these organizations are wonderful, but we pride ourselves on, you know, being just humans behind it all and trying to make it work. So
the problem with veterans, okay, doesn't matter how bad their problem is,
asking for help,
they will not. And I've talked to wives when it's in my book, when they would take the guys who have these terrible nightmares and the counselor would be like, so how you doing, Bill? Oh, pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said she wanted to rip her hair out. It's like, no, you're not. Open up.
Yeah. You're not who you used to be. You're having too many bad days, all of those things. And that's a piece that we love to kind of take a point on, too, is we can talk with the families. If the families need the help, you know, we can share the resources so that they can bring them to them when they're ready. And, you know, when you speak to the numbers, right, and how is it going and how is it working, the numbers, there's missions of Mission 22 and those 22 veterans that we lose each day to suicide. You know, that's a number that was put out and is... still very much a mission that people go after, and it's, you know, all the same mission. And so we have always followed the VA's report on statistics for, you know,
one of the things with that too is, I don't know, for, you know, we've talked about this, you know, before you got involved with homeless, right, that I did with, you have this image in your head, right. And you just, and you think sometimes with veterans that are commit suicide that they're, and they're not, they're, some of them have good jobs, they got wonderful families, they've got whatever. But there's just something, huh, Chelsea?
Yeah. And you, I mean, we have a part of our opening ceremony for each year since we've started is a speaker who has been touched by veteran suicide, whether it's their son, brother, you know, they share how they probably didn't see it coming, you know, and that's the saddest, scariest part.
But that's where with you guys, I think one of the great things that you guys have is the access from the family to you. A family can't call or couldn't call the VA in Milwaukee and say, hey, my husband, I think he's gotten problems. Can I get him in? With you guys, like I said, you guys will answer that phone.
Yep.
And just answering that phone sometimes, I think, mentally for people, knowing somebody's there to help, I think is a big factor.
Absolutely.
And I think the community has it leaned into this pretty well. I mean, there are a lot of services here. There may still be some gaps. You know, I don't know that. But when it comes to suicide prevention, Greater Green Bay has done a much, much better job on that. We have that huge walk that happens.
Yep, the Be the Light one as well.
That is a great walk. But what I like about what you do is it's veterans, and it's focused on that. I don't go industry, but that group of people. Yeah. And I think that's really important because they're more comfortable talking to families about people who walk in
exactly
shoes.
Exactly right.
So, yeah,
that's exactly
this is great
right.
what you're doing, Chelsea.
So tell us where, when, and people, how could they can still line up.
Yeah, so it's coming up quick. Our event date is next Saturday, November 9th. So I said it's at the KI Center here right in Green Bay. Registration that day, if you don't register before, which that is open until November 4th, but registration starts at 6:30. Ceremony at 8, walk starts at 9. You're done when you're done, whether you do 2 miles, 17 miles, or somewhere in between. And we have a little welcome back party, pizza, and resources from 1 to 4.
Promise you won't shame me if I walk like 4 miles?
I'll pick you up.
And I get a free t-shirt?
Yep, I'll get you a t-shirt.
Let me know.
I like this. All right.
I'll do the shaming.
Chelsea Cokin, hoo-ah! Suicide Awareness, thanks so much for what you do.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yep, thanks, Chelsea.
Quick break, back after this. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Back from the store, dear?
Can you believe the grocery bill was over $200? Can't anybody in Washington vote no on these spending bills that drive up debt and inflation?
Glenn Grothman has always been one of the most frugal members of Congress. But I thought we were voting for Glenn for his work on the border to stop over 200,000 people a month from entering the nation illegally.
We have 850,000 new legal citizens every year who follow the law.
Dad, I'm voting for Glenn Grothman because he's advocating to keep the work centers open for people with different abilities so they can find their career.
Glenn stands up to the special interests. He takes no campaign donations from drug companies. He's also a proponent of ending race-based hiring.
He is outspoken, not afraid to take on the tough issues. And one thing I know about Glenn, he tells it like it is.
I'm Glenn Grothman, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Glenn Grothman for Congress.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. WW.
Jim, if you could give her those 4 pages, because you're not going to be here, so yeah.
Oh, for our next guest.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
He's
gotta
go and be
TV guy. Upgrade.
I've left some makeup there. If you want to use my makeup.
I was just gonna ask, are you gonna put some makeup on?
No, man.
You want some?
Me?
You know what?
I don't have to get this airbrush like you do, and you know, look like your high school picture. I'm very comfortable with who I am, and I don't think.
I still think
I'm going to win the Dick Clark Award at my reunion.
All right.
I do.
The Dick Clark Award.
I think I will.
They give one of those?
Yeah.
For like, what, look the same?
I was president of my class. I don't think I came up with it. Yeah.
Oh. You came up with an award that you're pretty confident you're going to win.
Right.
Okay.
Do that.
All right.
The Dick Clark Award. I think every school should do that. You can, I don't know, what do you guys do? Who spent the most time?
4 years over here. Oh, my God. I got 6.
Wow. Wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Just thinking of your grandma. I'm sorry.
Hey, speaking of the veteran type thing, though.
Yes.
And I just want to say, I mean, Chelsea and Will, I've known them forever, and they have helped so many people so quietly. You can't believe it. I mean, this thing Saturday is huge, and 1,000 walkers or whatever, and there'll be media coverage, and all those things are fantastic. But 99% of the work happens behind the scenes, maybe late at night. Maybe early, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
With those kind of jobs, I mean, that's the part nobody sees about what they do.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's good that people get into an organization and you really appreciate the work that goes into any event, right? Any event. I mean, you think of when you threw birthday parties for your kids. There's just a lot of work to that, you know? And I don't just everything, but some of these events when they get, you know, raising $200,000. That does not just happen.
That is an amazing amount of money.
I thought it would be cool to just mention yesterday we had John Syndergaard on from CP of Northeast Wisconsin, right? And they've got the CP Game Changers coming up,
right.
Which is a big fundraiser for them. He emailed me afterward, and one of our great listeners, Dave, went down and donated money for the kids to have Halloween candy this week.
Wow.
And John thanked you guys for that, but I think reaching out to Dave right here, Cowboy Dave. Thank you so much. And we're with you today, Dave.
Yeah, I know you got a big thing happening today, Dave, so let us know how it goes.
Right. Yep.
We're all pulling for you, buddy. Thinking
people
of you.
People are very generous, though, in this. I mean, look at their 200,000. Right? We got the Bowl-a-thon this weekend, then we've got next week.
That event that I was at Sunday was
huge. Were at that event, and that, it just... They're out there, and you can't support everything because you just don't have the time.
Get off
money,
the couch and get out there.
At least a one.
Absolutely. You
know, for sure one a month.
Find,
right?
Find one or two things every right. year that you want to support right. and do yeah. it.
No question. I mean, no question.
The Children's Museum. And the events are, people try really hard. Like that game night's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It's new for them, so I've right. never done that. But walks and runs are fun. You should probably do something a little bit healthy. But there's the, they have the trivia. There's board games. There's just so many different events that you can go to. And some of them are music, you know, dueling pianos. You can go to that. That's a fundraiser they have over at Norbert's. And there's just a lot of things that people should do. And I will tell you, and you can attest to this, the organizations need the money.
Oh, yeah. No question. More than ever.
Right.
No question. No question.
Nothing's cheap.
You know, it's funny you're talking about the marathon. The reason I asked you how long it took you is because Sunday morning, I'm sleeping on my couch, and I just about get blasted right off my couch at the start of the marathon. I didn't know there was a marathon back here. On City Deck Landing, Saturday or Sunday,
yep,
whichever day it was.
One of our listeners, I believe it was Sarah,
okay.
was in that.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that the women's?
I'm not sure.
Was it kids?
No.
No. It was,
nah, kids, okay. Kids shouldn't run a marathon.
But anyway, what I'm...
I mean, their bodies... No.
No, but whatever it was. But what I'm saying is, it was just... I was surprised. And, and here comes our first finisher. And it had to be 2 hours later before...
Well, there was a half marathon. That was not a marathon.
Okay.
I mean, the Kenyan ran it. And yeah. that No, they don't... Wow, I'm surprised... Not that I follow that, but that's cool. That
yeah.
They had a race down here last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you have any proof of the time that you ran?
Yeah, you bet.
You got to print it out?
I got to. No, it's printed on the back of my medal.
Oh, cool.
You can do that, and it's great. You take in your sheet, you give it to the guy, and they do it right there, which is very cool, and the medals are nice and heavy. You get the ribbon in. You know, I think I wore it for a week.
Then it became a hood ornament.
Yeah, clipped off the Mercedes thing, yeah. Put that on there.
I
so,
can see
yeah.
that. I can see it. Actually, you know, I got to be honest with you. That used to be a big thing in, like, Detroit and other places.
Oh, clipping those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then wearing them as medallions. That was
oh, that, is that what
taking
they
them
did?
Off the Mercedes. Oh, yeah, that was
the big chains.
Yes. Yep. Oh, they would knock those off.
It was the Hot Cider Half Marathon. Jeff Mertz, okay. who
there
runs the downtown.
There you go.
He is the one who just texted that to me. Thanks for
Jeff.
Listening, Jeff.
So, is that everybody then? Anybody?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just for fun. And
okay.
That's very cool. He's a runner. That guy.
That they must have had a lot of people. I mean, it was going on and on and on and on. I
was right here next to the station.
Yeah, it was right behind me. I mean, like literally right outside my window almost. Yeah. So, it was cool.
So what did you sign up for?
No, I was going to do. I was going to do.
Was but this. Is there anything?
Okay,
so
well, wait,
next
just,
year, I think gotta, as we do New Year's resolutions, at least the Sarugis run or the five the Bell.
No, I can't do. My doctor told me not to run. I can walk, but he told me not to run because of my hip. But anyway. So I thought the ruck thing was on the 17th. So my schedule.
Oh, so
I was scheduling for that.
So that's why you're doing 2 miles instead of 17, because another week you would have picked up that 15.
Yeah, and I got to be honest. This is I am not making an excuse. This is the honest to God truth. Laying in bed this morning, I got such a pain in my ankle. And then I walked here. And I'm not expressing pain here in the show.
Never.
But it is hurting.
John's just living with it. He's just.
It is the weirdest thing. I'm not kidding. It's happening right now. I'm getting like a sharp, sharp
labor
pain
pains.
In just, my ankle like you can't believe.
Wow. Same leg as the hip?
Yes.
That's why.
Think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I have it in my ankle from my knee. But of course, I don't mention that. So
no, I don't either.
Every day.
I was just bringing up why I can't do the thing this year.
Yeah.
I'll go over there for the opening ceremonies and everything. You know,
wow, that is good. You want to support it, whether you participate or not. Yeah, that's.
I would. Okay, here, can I tell you my biggest fear?
Mm-hmm. The way you grunt out those questions.
I can think of a whole lot. But this show continuing? No, okay. Go ahead.
So my fear is, and it's like, you know, some days when you go work out or walk, some days you really got it and everything, and then other days it's just not there.
They're getting fewer and further apart.
Of the but you know
I used to
mean?
Have some good days back
yes.
in the day.
And
loved
you think,
it.
Oh, my
Look forward
God,
to it.
This is
I can
phenomenal.
Do this.
And then you go to another day, it's like, this is the hardest thing I've done.
No.
And I worry about only being able to go like a few miles, like 3 miles or something, and it's like, I can't because of my ankle, my hip, my injuries. And then
your labrum.
So, thank you.
So then, and my labrum. So they, I would be embarrassed. I'd be ashamed if they like picked me up in a golf cart and drove me back with all the people who
running
still,
this way.
Exactly.
That'd be tough. That would
thank
be. I'd
you.
Say I would tip the guy and say, "Take me up on the road.
Thank
I don't want to
you.
Be in trouble." I would have done that. Okay, I hear you.
Thank you.
All right.
Back after this.
And I can explain. Oh yeah. Well, you. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Employment numbers in the state are breaking records. Here's Melissa Kay.
9 counties in the state are seeing record low unemployment rates. Ashland, Bayfield, Burnett, Door, Langlin, Oconto, Pepin, Rock, and Sawyer have unemployment rates as low as 1.9% and no higher than 2.7%. The Department of Workforce Development announced record high employment during the month of September across the state. These record-breaking numbers represent real working families, businesses, and communities across our state, says Governor Evers. He said the efforts to reduce barriers to work, such as childcare, job training, transit, and housing, ensures our economy and workforce maintains this positive momentum. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
As more Wisconsin students continue to struggle with food insecurity, State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed increasing access to meals at schools by providing all Wisconsin students nutritious breakfast and lunch at no cost to families. Dr. Underley called for the universal free meals as part of her 2025-27 biennial budget request during a news conference last week. The 2023 Youth Risk Behavior Survey shows 1 in 4 Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to a lack of food in their home. Ryan Spouty, running for the 89th Assembly District, reacted Tuesday to an anti-LGBTQ plus ad released by a political action committee that is supporting his opponent. He said that the ad contains no citations because all of the accusations have no basis in reality. Spouty said, quote, "Hate has no place in Green Bay." The ad was paid for by the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee. Spouty is the Democrat running against Republican Pat Buckley. The 89th Assembly District covers the west side of Green Bay and Ashwaubenon.
I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz are about to team up in a new film, Day Drinker. Yes, my fellow Wisconsinites, it is an awesome title. The film will tell the story of a cruise ship bartender, Depp, who befriends a mysterious day drinker played by Cruz, and they end up embroiled in a caper. This will be the fourth time Depp and Cruz grace the screen together after starring in Blow, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, and Murder on the Orient Express. If you love Squid Game, you might love the new spinoff, which will be an American version. Deadline reports that the project will be led by director David Fincher, whose credits include films like The Game and Seven. This will be the first spinoff of the Korean show. Season 2 of the original Squid Game premieres December 26th of this year on Netflix. Producers say the third and final season will also premiere sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have you
ever reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
Mostly cloudy and windy with a high in the mid-70s today, falling into the 60s by late afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms are likely tonight. Could be some heavy rain, too, with an inch and a half or more possible. Tomorrow, falling temperatures, showers, windy, will be in the mid-40s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Oshkosh Public Museum welcomes you to its third annual Dia de los Muertos celebration, Saturday, November 2nd, 10 to 4. This free cultural event promises an engaging day filled with festivities for the entire family. Immerse in the rich traditions of Dia de los Muertos with unique crafts and spectacular live performances by Ballet Folklorico Gennarotti and the vibrant energy of mariachi music. Join the Oshkosh Public Museum for the spirited traditions of Dia de los Muertos. For more information, visit OshkoshMuseum.org.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin, featuring 6 elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and 2 iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss, following Joe Taranzo Cannon, playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins me in studio. Wisconsin State Rep Francesca Hong on the status of the Wisconsin election. Plus, Greg Palast joins us talking about the mega dirty tricks. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, we've had a fun show today. And then Chelsea Kokin coming in and talk about such a phenomenal, phenomenal event they put on, raising over $100,000 for veterans and veteran suicide awareness. And Todd and you, Nikki, both verified, yes, that ankle injury I have, you both have it.
Yes. Yes.
You have it too?
My child does, yes.
Yeah. 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 No, I've got it because of my knee.
And he's still growing.
Right.
So we will blame a lot of.
I told her I could still have a spurt.
Sure.
Of what?
Height, growth, prosperity.
I could have a spurt.
All of them.
All these things. Well, we are with Amanda Reif, director and curator of the De Pere Historical Society. And you're telling us about your background. And you're only, how old are you?
You can't ask a woman that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I won't ask
that. The HR department is now on line one.
Okay, but all I'm saying is you've done so many things. I mean, these archaeological digs in South America or whatever, whatever. And it's like you've done 10 times more than I've done, and I'm 100 years older than you is all I'm saying.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm in my 30s.
Probably just like
not
a
pinky toe. Not that young anymore. So happy to be here this morning.
Thanks now, we're talking about Stephen King. This is the thing that I knew and Jim did not know. And I sprung it on him. He's like, no, that's not true. That's not true. That Stephen King lived in De Pere. And a big part of the movie Stand By Me was based on an actual incident that happened by where he lived.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, not many people know this, but Stephen King, when he was a young boy, did live in De Pere, in West De Pere. And it was just for a very short time, about 3 to 4 years at most. So as far as, me doing the research and finding out information on this, it was pretty difficult just because there was such a small, narrow window of when he and his mother and his older brother were here.
And the kid did get hit by a train?
Yes, unfortunately. He was just under 2 years old. Stephen was running on the tracks with some friends, and one of the younger little boys didn't get off the tracks in time, and ultimately was struck by a train.
So it sounds like it was, right, kind of that neighborhood. All the kids go outside, play for a while. Mom shoos you out the door, mm-hmm. and you've got older kids, little kids, all running amok, and then this terrible tragedy.
Yeah, I think letting the kids kind of run free, but I mean, there was, you know.
It was pandemonium back then.
Yeah, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and I'm like, they're letting their 2-year-old, 3-year-old on the train tracks. I'm like, you know.
Unbelievable. And it says it's only about 2 blocks from where he lived.
Yes. Yep. So at the time when Stephen was here, he lived in two different locations, both on the west side of De Pere.
West De Pere, Johnny.
West side.
Yes, near Reed Street. One of the properties
by Nicolet Restaurant, like where that Reed Street annex is?
Near there.
The tracks are right there.
Are you talking about the accident or where he lived?
Well, both, but okay. Are those train tracks the...
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So the overpass...
Yes.
Where it's kind of the old Island Sushi building that used to be flush with the road at one point. And that, because there were so many accidents...
They elevated it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was shortly after this most recent, this accident. And I guess back then the trains were going much faster through town too. So that was just kind of surprising to me.
Wow. So we are taking this information from your membership newsletter, which highlights this fascinating background of Stephen King. And it cites the Green Bay Press Gazette, the article that was published then in 1951 when this incident took place.
Yeah. So it was published in the Press Gazette. It was also published in local De Pere newspapers at the time too. This article that I pulled though for the newsletter just kind of had more of the details.
Yeah.
And the grim photo that came with it, which was surprising to see.
Oh, they used to do that. Oh, I used to go through the microfilm over at the Brown County Library when I was doing research for my books.
Right.
And you'd find some of those things about the, and they would have pictures of the gruesome pictures.
Things you wouldn't think that they would publish.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there's a photo in there of it's a there's a little bloody body, sheet. Yeah. You can't really see anything.
But you can tell what's
right.
Yeah. Terrible. Right. So how? Okay. Did you just stumble upon this, or had you known about it and then wanted to do the research on it, or how did this come up? It seems like a little bit of a passion for yours putting together this project.
Well, I love doing any research, and especially stories that are kind of lingering around, that people kind of they know about it but they don't really know about it, they don't know the full background. And this has been actually a 5-year in the making research project for me, especially because it being, you know, they came here in such a short amount of time, and certain census records or tax records weren't published during maybe that window, and they rented. So it was like trying to prove where they were at was so difficult. So, you know, it was something that I worked on for quite a while, just because it was something that I heard about and I wanted to really dig into it.
Just to verify.
And then I think I took like a year off and then kind of came back to it. And I just was like, you know, I need to follow through with the story.
Good for
it's,
you.
It's a good story.
It's a great story.
I think we should reach out. Don't you think there should be a marker or
is
some
there
sort of?
I see
of...
their picture of his gravesite there, but wow, that's amazing. So tell me a little bit more about you and your career and what you do for the history. DePere is very proud of their historical heritage. Very proud. Joe Cerugi and
McKim
Boyd. McKim have that great little thing sometimes over at the high school.
The slideshow.
I love that. No question
the
about it.
The historic photo shows are a big crowd favorite. So I'm the director curator at the Historical Society. I've been there for about 5 years now. Prior to that, I was helping out at Hazelwood House in for Brown County Historical
Society. You guys used to carry my books. I did some book signings at his. That's a cool building. That's a cool old. It's like exactly the way it must have been the year it was built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have preserved that really well. And same with our building that we're in. We're in a 1836 building that has been preserved. We are working on getting it expanding.
Where
it
are and you guys?
We're at 403 North Broadway.
Is that right by the library? Okay.
Yep. Right next door.
Cool.
So yeah, so it's a great position, and I love doing small projects like this or research for other people. Sometimes people will give me their family tree and say, please do this.
Well, if you ever need anybody to help you, my son is an unbelievable genealogist, and it's beyond belief what he has found out for different people in that.
Different subscriptions to...
He spends his free time going to courthouses and just going through those old record books like you can't believe. Just hour after hour. On his days off from school, that's what
he would do. How do you know what people will let you see and what they won't?
Oh, they have to let you. I'm sure you've dealt with that, right? It's those big, huge books. Mm-hmm. And they've got them all back there. And then you have to sign or something. You can't take it out. You got to, but just, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the number one thing he said, though, is it's amazing how phenomenal their handwriting was at times.
Impeccable.
Back then. It was really cool.
It was, beautiful, but can be sometimes hard to read.
Absolutely.
some of that really old English cursive.
Yes. And not only that, though, but he said some of the names would be changed as they went along.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They definitely Americanized names once you kind of got here. 100%.
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit maybe easier.
But you like doing digging, huh?
I love to dig. I love any type of research like that, especially when it's something that people... it's a story where people kind of said, oh no, there's just, you know, there's not enough information.
And you uncover
something.
I'm like,
okay, well, let's see. Nice.
So you must have been like this as a child. Were you always inquisitive?
Stubborn. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always asking a million questions.
Yeah, definitely. Wondering why. And,
and you went on digs then too, right? Archaeological digs.
Yes.
I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, it's if you're fine with being in 100 degree heat and working.
Where were you?
I was in Belize in Guatemala for my digs. Yeah, it was a great experience.
What were you digging for?
Well, we didn't really know. We just knew we were in the main center plaza and at Cajal Pech, and it's a beautiful preserved. Area that has some uncovered pyramids and it was just a basically like their
neat
like their open area that they would have homes and dwellings and also areas of prayer and things like that. And we would dig, and we actually found an old shaman's home.
Wow.
And unearthed that.
How deep are you digging? I was thinking of people with little brushes trowels and stuff like that.
I mean, and it's such a precise execution. I mean, grids and...
Oh, that's the longest. It's what takes the longest besides the digging. You have to map everything out. You have to take everything layer by layer.
Yes.
Each layer, you know, you're finding coins from like the 1600s.
Oh, I love that. I would love that.
It's like a timeline.
I did a dig in my neighbor's yard one time when I was a kid. I found an Indian head penny. I'll never forget the 1865 Indian head penny.
And did the neighbor appreciate the dig?
I don't think so. But that was fun. I'd love to do what you do. I really would. I'd love to go on digs and all these kind of things.
Can Mino like be your job shadow for a day?
You know what I want to do? Okay, so the Fox River.
How much would we have to pay her to have him around for an entire
day? No, I would do it for free.
No,
I would do
it. Not you getting paid. We'd have to pay her.
Oh.
You've heard of child care, right? Oh. We need Mino care.
But here's what I want to do. I'm a metal detector. I'm professional. And what I,
self-proclaimed.
What I want to do is, now that the water's down the Fox River, that whole area around the Fox River Trail, I want to metal detect that. I bet there'd be some bronze spear points and stuff like that. So let me know when I can do that.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Under the cover of darkness.
I would let you be my digger.
Okay.
I would.
As long as it's not too far, I guess.
No, you'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's all good.
She'll grin it out.
It'll all be organized.
Map it out for you.
Yep.
Oh, copious notes.
Accomplishments in your life. I was Mino's digger, you know? You don't hear that too often.
That's an important position, because you have to be able to tell where the beep is coming from and be right on it and everything. I wouldn't offer that to you. You don't seem like you would be careful enough.
I would be there to provide encouragement.
You would do nothing but complain because you were there. You would be like, why am I here? How much longer are we going to be here?
What is this?
Here's the problem.
All I've done for this man.
He was nice to Jim this morning, so now he's taking it out on you.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You made a really good coffee cake, though.
I am so sorry that you have to be a part of this, Amanda. This is really unfortunate.
What do you think of my glasses?
They're very nice.
Thank you.
They frame your face well.
Thank you very much.
Do they really?
Do they, Amanda?
We're going to go with they frame my face very well.
Maybe she's just talking about
I got a big face, so I shouldn't be wearing little
glasses.
Notice
you didn't try the new ones on that
I can't get them out of the box.
So if you could do that for him this morning,
famous last
words. Hey, did you hear earlier from Jessica from Bay Area?
What'd she say?
Because she saw me, she goes, I did kind of a double take. Do you want me to help? My husband's an optometrist.
She offered professional.
Thanks, Jessica.
She goes, I did a double take when I saw you with those on. Why are you wearing those?
Yeah.
It's like, because I can see with them. That's why.
Well.
So anyway.
Poor Amanda.
Hey, one thing about DePere, though, people there are proud of their history. Like, I've gone to those Photoshop things. They're proud of their history.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a community that, like you said, proud of their history. And, you know, we're just trying to help maintain it. And we have, we have an archive that we're real proud of and just trying to keep maintaining it.
Fantastic.
Is the museum, the Historical Society, you guys are open by appointment, or how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so typically, depending on what it is, if it's for research or specific things like that, I would prefer an appointment. I'm their only staff member, and otherwise we are volunteer based. So I want to make sure that I'm there in case we need to meet, or if I'm doing research for that person, or they need assistance on the database, because it's all digitized.
Okay. I was about to say I would volunteer until I heard the word digitized.
That's where
she lost me.
Yeah. Technology.
So we do have all the items in our archive, but not everything's physically there. We have a lot of it just digitized. So
do you want to sell my books there? Would you like to? I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I'm doing it for you. Amanda Reese, stick around, okay? All right, we're going to set a quick break. Back at us.
Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Something. Ask me about any of the things in the song, and I'll tell you all about it real quick.
Tell me about
Johnny Ray.
Tell me about Johnny Ray.
Don't know Johnny Ray. Give me somebody else.
That was going to happen.
I can't.
Give me somebody else. Give me somebody. Give me
anything.
Something. He was a singer, right?
I don't know.
Was he John?
Give me something. Give me another one. Give me another one.
Give us a little bit more time. John. Todd, sorry.
You guys are killing me.
Come on.
First of all, why didn't we talk about Create a Great Funeral Day? And it's Henry Winkler's birthday.
I know. He didn't mention it this morning.
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Grace Slick is 85?
85.
Wow.
Who is Grace?
Singer from Jefferson Airplane.
Chasing rabbits. Huh. Oh, it's a classic this city.
He's a whole new person right now.
Right.
Did you see the text we got in from Michael?
Your glasses look great.
Madam. Ooh.
Thank you, Michael.
Do you remember Dame Edna?
Yes, 100%.
From the UK? A little bit. You switched your glasses, though, didn't
she
you?
She just brought me new ones.
Do you like those?
I don't know. I think I feel a little bit like a 1960s serial killer.
FBI agent?
No? Okay.
Covering.
At first,
the
I was saying FBI
killer.
Agent, but then it was like almost like, I don't know, like those creepy guys.
No. No, there's plenty of serial killer glasses out there.
Okay.
And these
aren't
it.
No. Okay. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right, Amanda, what do you think?
I like these better than the last ones.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Amanda. All right.
Not only does she know her history, she's got great fashion sense, too.
Absolutely.
Great eyeballs.
She knows how to impress Johnny.
Okay. So the two of you are having a little love affair with
history.
And yes. You were telling us that you studied at our very own UW Oshkosh.
Anthropology
of all things, yeah. In little old Oshkosh.
Anthropology and world religions, yes.
What TV character majored in anthropology and got his book bag stolen from him by a bully because he had a sticker on it that said geology rocks?
Indiana Jones.
No, you should know this.
What was the question again?
Name the famous TV character who majored in anthropology and was an anthropologist. And
how is this not Indiana Jones?
It's not. It's a TV character.
I didn't watch TV.
I have no
Tony
idea.
Danza?
Ross from Friends.
Ross from Friends.
Duh.
Yeah.
Amanda is losing her mind.
No,
over
he was a paleontologist.
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah.
It's dinosaurs. It's different than anthropology.
100%. Boom, boom, boom.
You know, this is the first time on the show anybody has put him in his place like this.
I love Amanda.
I'm so sorry.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
She's 100% correct as well.
Is that what you're going to say too, Amanda?
We have
no. When you said anthropology, I was going to say bones because that's anthropology.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. But.
Yeah,
you have been Amanda today.
Just the study I've been Amanda
double in stereo.
I've been reefed.
Sorry.
Wow.
No, never apologize on this show.
Never gonna be invited back again.
Wow. Oh, you can come on tomorrow.
Will.
So you wouldn't want to like collect dinosaur bones and stuff, right?
I mean, I would. That just isn't my expertise. Like, we studied bones. So like my final, they gave me a box of bones, and it was over 200 bone fragments, and you had to decide if it was human, if you could age it, if you could tell the species how they passed away, you know, all these different things. So really only human bones or small like animal bones.
Do you have any kind of a thing? Could you still tell what kind of a bone something is, do you think? Because I bought this thing in Alaska one time, and it says from a woolly mammoth.
Oh.
And I want to show it to you to make sure I didn't get taken.
I don't know what woolly mammoth bones
I'll show you.
Like,
I'll show you what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I trust
this
you.
Sounds like such a bad setup.
What?
Such a bad. I don't know what could possibly
but I'm
go
serious.
Wrong.
People don't believe, but it was a woolly, but I can't find the sheet that came with it.
Oh, okay.
And I tried telling people, I told my son one time, if he wants to take it to school for, you know, a dinosaur bone. But he said, okay, how can I prove it? It's like, I can't prove
tough,
it.
Tough to do.
I have the receipt. Yeah, I have the receipt.
Target.
Proof of person. Gift shop in Anchorage, Alaska.
You know what, though? I think, and you're a good person to do this, I think we need to do some digs along the Fox. I don't think we've dug enough for back in like the 1500s, the 1400s, back when Jean Lafayette? No.
Jean.
Nicolet.
Jean Nicolet. You know, like his where he landed. I think we need some do some digs there, don't you?
That would be cool.
I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. You guys do all that. What do you lay out? What's the first thing called? It's the hard work? The grid.
The grid mapping.
Do the grid, and then I'll show up. Later.
Oh, sure.
We'll show.
Yep. You do all the heavy work, and then John.
Well, you
got
to be good at math to do
it.
That stuff. Do you have to be real good at math?
I'm not good at math, but you just have to know shapes and just basic measurements.
But I mean, science. Yeah. You were like that kid, or was good in science in school.
Oh, I wish I could say yes.
No. Well, that gives other people hope.
Biology,
then, that you're not, like...
sure, but not chemistry. That was again like more math and. No, I was more history and reading and writing and
you're a female
art.
Me. You're a female
I
me.
Was
you're a female
just
me.
Gonna which is say what that.
Female me.
Which is what every woman wants to hear in
their life. I mean, really. Who has Todd become
I am
today?
So sorry.
Wow, is he caustic?
I just
you
I
could
just, this
not
is fun.
Achieve
He's
this.
Caustic.
No. You could never
I could achieve a lot of things.
Yep. You've still got time.
Do I?
Like 6'9". Let's start with 6'9".
Oh, I still might have a growth spurt. I
sure,
told you that.
Sure, sure.
I still might.
Yep.
My brother did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to happen.
Late in life.
Yeah. Hang with me. Well, this has been fun, Amanda. Let us know. Stay in touch with Todd or Nikki or Amanda or anybody here about other things, other events you guys have coming
basically
up.
Basically anybody but John.
Yeah.
That would require him to do work. Mm. So we would love to have you back. Anything coming up for the holidays? Where can people find you? Limited hours at the museum.
So we have Santa's House coming up. That's always a crowd favorite. It's free to the community. We have Santa and Mrs. Claus will stop by within their busy schedule at
the
Todd, museum.
Todd, how could that be possible?
Why?
Right
that's
after.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. Mayor saying that.
We were on this show for a week and he said, yeah, I went to Santa Claus's funeral. It's like, whoa.
What's the website?
Breaking news.
What's your website?
It is DePereHistory.org.
Outstanding.
And we do have Facebook.
Boom. We're good. Thank you, Amanda. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
See ya.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.